Nice Guy Knitting Podcast, episode 231.
Nice Guy Nation, what is up? Is Kevin Alexander of the Nice Guy Dating Podcast, where nice guys finish first.
You're a nice guy. You'll find somebody. It's just not going to be me.
Nice Guy Dating exists for the nice guy. The nice guy who is always being rejected for being a nice guy. It's a problem only a nice guy would understand.
You know, you're like my goofy little brother. I want to keep it that way.
Nice guys come to Nice Guy Nation because they're tired of the rejection, and tired of not understanding what women want, and flat out tired of being alone.
You're my best friend, and we should stay that way.
Nice Guy Nation is something real, that real nice guys can identify with. We're not PUA playboys pretending to live some VIP lifestyle while we secretly sleep on our sister's couch. We're regular guys who live regular lives, who want to sweep women off their feet by showing them the kind of nice guy we really are.
And, you know, I don't want to ruin our friendship, but it's just not going to work.
The Nice Guy Dating Podcast is where nice guys learn how to harness the irresistibly attractive power of living true to yourself, living with passion, and having a vision for how you want your life to be. I'm Kevin Alexander, and welcome to Where Nice Guys Finish First.
Lordy, 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 Nice Guy Nation, what is a happening? So, Nice Guy Nation, what is up? It is the second Monday in May, and you know what that means. Not a damn thing. It means it's the second Monday in May. What did you want it to mean, Nice Guy Nation? So, 2016, the year of focus. What are you focusing on other than truth, passion, and vision? How can you live true to yourself? How can you live a life filled with passion, sir? And what's the other one? Vision? Yeah, what's the vision that you have for the life that you want to live? You're like filling it in for me. You're like, Kevin, don't you even know it's like truth, passion, vision? You're like selling me on my own idea of truth, passion, and vision. You're like, no, it's our idea. You're like, you're right. Dude, you're totally right. It is our idea. It's Nice Guy Nation's idea to live true to ourselves, live a life filled with passion, and a vision that you have for the life that you want to live, sir. In which case, that's why I wanted to bring on Susan Bratton. We got introduced by mutual friends, and she just loved the whole concept of Nice Guy Nation, Nice Guy Dating, Truth, Passion, Vision. I can't tell you how many times Nice Guy Nation I've been on a date and it either just flops because the girl just doesn't get it. She's like, truth, passion, vision, what? You help guys do what? Like, I'm so uncomfortable. And I'm like, yeah, you're excused. And she's like, what? And I'm like, you're excused. And she's like, I don't understand what's going on. And I'm like, I know, which is why I'm excusing you. Leave now. Please, go away. And then there are women who are just going to absolutely eat up and love what it is that you're passionate about. And Susan Bratton saw the truth, passion, vision, and she's like, oh my god, I love this. Teaching nice guys how to live with edge, how to be true to themselves, how to live a life filled with passion, how to have a vision for the life that they want to live. Your purpose is what makes you sexy. I want to talk to your audience about that. And I was like, I think that I want to talk to you about that too. So I knew it was pertinent. I knew that it had to be to bring on Susan Bratton to talk about why your purpose makes you sexy so that you could hear from the mouth of a lady why it is that your purpose makes you sexy, why that's so important, and why I stress so much truth, passion, vision. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into what makes your purpose sexy with none other than Susan Bratton.
Well then, I am recording, Suze. Let's get this on the roll. Nice Guy Nation, I have got on the line today Susan Bratton, a TV celebrity, author, award-winning speaker, and serial entrepreneur. Susan teaches from her own experience of watching her sex life diminish once the honeymoon phase was over, while she and her husband pursued dynamic careers, their intimacy withered. After they hit an emotional crisis point, the couple made a fierce commitment to do whatever it took to keep their family together and revive their marital passion. Since then, Susan has been committed to ensuring people lead sexual lives of passion. Today, we're going to be talking about Susan's unique experiences, as well as why, specifically, your purpose makes you sexy. And I'm super stoked to have Susan on. So, Susan, welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be here with a bunch of nice guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You are quite welcome.
I love the nice guys.
And you know what? We're going to get into that, and specifically, the nice guys with purpose.
Yep.
Why don't you tell Nice Guy Nation a bit about yourself, Susan?
Sure. So I'm a sex expert, which is the best job in the world.
Ever.
Ever. And it's interesting because it's my passion. It's my purpose. It delivers incredible meaning in my life. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about passion and passion. Mm-hmm. We're like doubling down on passion today. So my husband and I run a business together now for going on a decade. This is our 10th year, called Personal Life Media. And we help men and women, single and married, have more passion in their sex life. Most of our focus for the last decade has been men, but women are coming to us in droves these days because they also want the same thing. And so I've been with my husband for going on 25 years. I've been doing this for a decade, and I've never had more fun.
Boom. No, and it sounds like it. And it comes through, and that's one of the, I think, context of living out your purpose, is that you do have that passion. You are going to have that oomph in your step. You're going to have that oomph in your voice. And there's absolutely no denying it that, I mean, after 25 years, you've obviously got a hang on what's going to keep a relationship moving and grooving.
I do.
But more specifically, what inspired you and your husband to, I mean, I know you said that you work with both. We're kind of focusing more on guys, but what inspired you to start working with, I guess, people?
Yeah, as a woman, you'd think I'd be helping other women have more passion and intimacy, which I do, but most of my programs that I've created or that I publish with experts whose work I love, you know, what we do is we do online home study courses, audio, video, and ebooks, programs that teach men and women how to have hot sex together, hot, intimate, heart-connected, passionate, you know, sex that goes from the dirtiest, naughtiest kind of, you know, bedroom antics you can think of, all the way through to the kind of sex that, you know, you're so connected with each other, you feel like you've also touched God or Gaia. And so we really like that whole arc of passion. And what started me working with guys, we started out really mostly just working with men. And why I did that is that my husband and I, about 10 years into our marriage, we realized we had grown apart and we were kind of living as friends in our relationship. Our sex life had kind of gone to hell. We'd been so busy raising our daughter and running our lives. We were a very successful Silicon Valley couple. And it took a hit to our sex life. And we didn't want to be married to our friend anymore. We wanted to be married to a lover. We realized that this was the thing that was making us both miserable for different reasons. And we set about turning it around. Rather than getting divorced, we said, well, before we decide to get divorced, let's try to fix our relationship. So we went out and we took everything from Tony Robbins workshops to sex workshops of various kinds, and we realized that it is very possible for a guy in a relationship to turn his sex life around after learning what we had learned. And so we came out with programs that teach guys step by step by step, essentially, the basics, the fundamentals of everything from women's anatomy and their own anatomy and what is possible sexually, to how to have that masculine-feminine polarity, which is such an important part of having a long-term relationship where the sex keeps getting better instead of worse. I call it the upward pleasure spiral. And so I really got my start helping men and couples turn their sex lives around, because even guys who've been dating as little as a few months find that the new relationship energy tends to wear off and things get pretty humdrum. So what I did was I started figuring out what it takes to keep getting and staying on that that upward pleasure spiral.
Right. You know, and I'm really glad that you bring all these things up, because for a while, I didn't know any of this stuff. And in part of...
Nobody does.
That's kind of the interesting thing is, how come, I mean, there's kind of a general question. How come nobody knows about this stuff? Is it because it's taboo? Is it, you know, I'm trying to think of how I never learned any of it. And it could be just because I was never exposed to it. But
no one was ever exposed to it. Everyone thinks they're the only one that was never exposed to it. It's just the funniest thing. It's like, well, you know, my parents never really, we lived in a kind of stoic household. I never really saw my parents touching. You know, you don't learn it at school. You don't learn it at church, and you don't learn it at home. So where the hell are you going to learn it? You're going to learn it on the internet. The problem is, if you learn it on the internet by watching porn, you get this really skewed perspective of what sex can be like. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that what I am is the antidote to porn. I am the mother who will tell you the truth. I am the friend who will tell you how to turn a woman on. I am the woman who gets how men operate. And I love you for the way you operate. I don't begrudge a man the way he is at all. I work with the way you are and help you understand how women are and give you the checklists and the shortcuts to have hot sex.
Absolutely. And, you know, tailoring it to today's discussion with that polarity of no, like, I'm a woman, you're a man, I love that about you, that's what I like, and perspective to hot sex, going to this purpose of what it is that makes you sexy. And obviously we're using the word sexy. Is that part of what a man needs to work on, is finding his purpose to create this upward spiral?
Definitely. So, first of all, I really want to go through what it means to have a purpose. And what that means is that you've taken charge of your life and you've created a vision for yourself. You have a purpose or a vision or a mission for yourself. You're essentially making yourself the hero in your own story. You've figured out what it is that you've been put on this earth to do, and you're doing it, you know, and actually that's based on your values. You know, you might value everybody values different things. Different values make different meaning for different people. And so you really have to understand, like, do I value freedom or innovation or activism or financial security or vision? I mean, the list goes on and on about what your values are. And that really helps you get to what your purpose could be. And there are a lot of things that are interrelated that hold a man back from understanding his purpose. It's almost like you can't quite get that meta vision, that like looking outside your own body at your own life, because there are some factors that hold a lot of guys back from seeing what they could potentially be. An example, there's like a few examples. Negative self-talk is a big one. Well, you know, I really can't be the guy that does that. Or your personality, how your personality's been formed versus how you react to things in a mindful way. You know, so instead of just reacting, because that's just how you react, you can start to be more reflective. Like, oh, I could actually react to this in an entirely different way that would suit me better than the way I've just been kind of brought up to react. Especially for guys in their mid-30s, and I know there's a lot of guys in their mid-30s who are listening to Nice Guy Dating and Nice Guy Nation and following you. And really, what's happening is that for a lot of guys, they have self-image problems, negative self-perceptions. Like, you know, I was at a Tony Robbins event as an example, and there was this guy who I did some exercises with at the event. This was, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. And he came to the conclusion that at 35, he was actually using the excuse that he was too young to be successful. And going through this kind of mindful reflection that we did in this exercise, he realized, oh, I'm friggin' 35. There's lots of people who are running multi-million-dollar companies at 35, and I still think I'm too young to be successful. And he got rid of that negative self-perception. Another one is understanding your values, actually using that mindful reflection to understand what you think is most important in your life. And then to understand what creates a meaningful life for you. It could be service. It could be leadership. People are very different. And then also a big one is your ability to maintain a practice and do serious work in a disciplined way. I have a friend who is he's very creative. He's a writer and he's very successful, but he doesn't get up until noon and he just gets hammered all the time. Like, the guy gets obliterated 2 or 3 nights a week. And then, you know, he's screwing all these different girls and he's getting up at noon or 3 in the afternoon. And so he thinks that his mindful practice is, I'm going to write something every day. But really, is that serious work if you're screwing around that much? There's a point at which a guy has to say, I want to be a man with a purpose. And that does not include, serious work does not include getting completely obliterated 4 nights a week and getting up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. So there's definitely some maturation that comes into it. But if you actually think about what your life purpose is and you create a life vision for yourself, and I'm going to give you some tips to do that, obviously, that having that purpose, now getting back to your question, Kevin, is what does sexiness have to do with purpose? Well, purpose makes you sexy because your desire, your passion is the same thing as your life force. It's the same thing as your creative juice. That lust, that passion, your purpose, those are powerful forces of energy. And they actually, when you are a man who has a purpose, you actually have a different feeling in your body than when you're a man who doesn't. You actually have different thoughts in your mind than a man who doesn't. And a woman can tell, because when you're a man who has a mission or a purpose, when you are using your talents and your skills for good that create positive worth in the world, that woman is going to want to be with that kind of a guy. He is lusty. He has life. He has vitality. He has creativity. He has energy. Like, that is so attractive. That is just magnetic to a woman. Women care less about how much money you make than how much ambition you have. And that's what's so attractive. And also very masculine. And women are drawn to the polarity of that man on a mission. The guy who has a purpose in life.
Mm-hmm. My God, there are so many things that you said there, dear Susan.
I know. Oh, and my God, I have so much more. I think a lot about this. One of the very first things I ever co-created when I became a publisher at Personal Life Media was a program that taught people how to find what made their life meaningful. You know, I mean, it's really been something I've been thinking about for decades now.
Well, absolutely. And the three tenets that we live by on Nice Guy Nation is truth, passion, and vision. Be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Find something that you're passionate. It could be even multiple things, but always try to strive and bring that juice into your life, that passion. And what's going to draw you to that is a vision that you have for how you want your life to be. It should be such a strong vision. You can see so clearly, you can taste it, you can smell it, you can feel it, that it draws you towards it. Whenever I hear the question, oh, how do I get motivated or how do I stay motivated? My immediate response is, you don't know where you're going. You don't have a vision. You're looking more into the rear view than you are into the windshield. And the windshield is much bigger than the rear view mirror. You need to know where you're going, why you're going there. And for a lot of the guys who are listening in, the reason why I wanted to bring you on to talk about this topic is because I was told this, a lot of guys are told this, that, well, your passions aren't going to make you any money. So don't do those. If you want to do those on the side after you come home from being a good little doctor or a good little engineer or a good little lawyer or, you know, one of the classics, then you can go ahead and do what your passions are. But otherwise, your passions don't exist. Don't worry about them. And this is where I come on and say, no, screw that. Because while you're young, you know, in your 20s, even possibly into your 30s as well, you've got a lot of youthful energy to put up with shit that you don't want to do. But as you start to get older, there's got to be something else that's going to drive you. And the older that I get, the less patience I have for things that I don't give a shit about doing. It's just true. And the more I angle myself towards a powerful vision for how I want my life to be, what's true to myself, and it is a journey, it is a process, but the more that I angle myself towards that, I don't want to say the higher the quality women come into my life, because that's like a paintbrush. It's a generalization. Women who are more suited to my taste and to the kinds of relationships that develop because of it just naturally happen and blossom way better than they ever did before.
Yeah, you're going to... by the way, I love your tagline.
Well, thank you.
The minute I was introduced to you and I saw that it was truth, passion, and vision, I'm like, that's my kind of guy. I mean, I was an immediate yes to being on your show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Mm. You're sexy to me.
Well, thank you, lady.
Yeah. Mm. I like you.
Mm. Mm. And there's so many things that you brought up. Like, for example, the mindsets that hold us back. I was recently interviewing a hypnotist, and she was talking about the thoughts that secretly keep us hypnotized. And an example that she used was this guy who wanted to quit smoking, but he had it wrapped in his mind that, well, growing up, men smoke, and you're a man if you smoke. So how in the world is he supposed to stop smoking if his whole identity as a man is wrapped up in smoking? So then with the hypnotist, they went ahead and changed that. And so similarly here, well, if he's got it wrapped up in his mind that he's too young at 35 to be successful, well, if he hasn't defined what young is, at what age is he going to eventually wake up and realize that he's grown up? And so I think that comes to the next portion is really defining, like you said, that sense of mission, that sense of purpose. Like when I do this show, it's a sense of mission, it's a sense of purpose. And if we don't clearly define, well, what we're going to talk about and why we're going to talk about it, it's going to be a complete disaster. It's going to be a complete mess. And defining our values, that truth, that passion, that vision, when guys tune in, it's not a surprise to me that the kind of guys that I wanted to attract are listening to the show, and that the kind of people that I bring on to come on to the show and that are excited to come on to the show, such as yourself, Susan, guys are like, these guests are amazing. It's not surprising because we're creating this vortex of attraction where we're all attracted to each other. Because as you said, it's powerful forces of energy that when you are working towards your purpose, very, Think and Grow Rich, which I remember the guy's name.
Napoleon Hill.
Yep, Napoleon Hill. That your creative energy is your sexual energy because both are creative. They're both creating things. And so if we harness that energy and we bring that into us, that's your vitality, that's your life, that's all you've got, because if you don't have that, you're just on a faster path towards the grave.
Yeah, a lot of times people who are disconnected from their purpose are suffering from depression or anxiety. They're withdrawn from the world. They're withholding their gifts. They're holding back their gifts. They're numbing out of life. They're downplaying their power. They're sandbagging, you know, they don't want anybody to bother them, versus serving others, being an inspiration to others, finding and doing things that create deeper meaning for people. That is what's very attractive to women, are men that look like a man in uniform. I mean, that's a classic construct. Like, why do we want to have sex with firemen? Well, A, okay, they're hot. And it's not just because of the fire. But they also serve others. And that is very attractive to women. So that's just a perfect example of why women are attracted to men who have a purpose.
Well, I'm really glad you brought up the firefighters, because
Me too.
And what's really funny is recently there was a fire in the neighborhood, and I was my son's mom was over because I was watching my little guy, and she was picking him up, and she was like, "Ooh, firefighters!" And then she looks over, she's like, "Ugh," and none of them are hot. And it was just one of those things where she's like expecting that the firefighters
so
are going to be
hot.
Right, it's disappointing. And then just before we got onto this call, I was running some errands, and one of them was I was getting my hair cut, and I mentioned that to my hairstylist, and she was like, "That's like the worst thing ever." She's like, firefighters are supposed to be hot, and when they're not hot, it's such a letdown. And so it's, but the point is, it's not necessarily the uniform or anything like that. It's like you said,
being in service, being the strong one who serves others.
I love that.
It's strength. Women are drawn to strength. It is the masculine.
I love that. The strong
so
one
do
who serves
I.
others. Yeah, the masculine. Mm. Now, really quick, actually, as you're discussing the masculine, would you mind maybe taking a minute and going into what is the masculine and why is that so attractive?
Yeah, and actually, I also want to do one more thing.
Sure.
I have a video that I want to tell your guys about. I got to remember what it's called. Here it is. You can Google this. So my name is Susan Bratton, Brattoon, and I did a talk at a conference called Eros, Eros, which means love, about the 8 passion accelerators. And this was really a talk for both men and women, that where I actually studied so many facets of modern sexuality. I looked at masculine, feminine polarity. I looked at what's going on in the media. I looked at what's going on in dating. I looked at what's going on in relationships. I looked at what's going on that we know now from a fundamental biologic perspective. And basically, I boiled all this data down into like the 8 simple things you can do to have a more passionate, hot sex life as a man and a woman. It's called The Eight Passion Accelerators by Susan Bratton. And if you Google that, you'll find the video. And I think that that can go into more depth than anything I could say on the limited time that we have. So it's some incremental information. But the masculine and feminine polarity, that was really the question that you asked me, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Was essentially, how do I become a more masculine woman to her feminine? And one of them is this notion of strength. I've got you. I'll create security and stability for you. That comes very much from the classic biology. The other one is actually being a man of independence, a man who knows his own mind, a man who is living his life on his own terms. Sure, you might have a boss, you have to serve other people, whatever it might be, but in the grand scheme of things, you are true to yourself, which means you understand your mission and your purpose. Another step is to provide leadership within your relationship, to be able to handle and take care of things. Another is to overcome her resistance issues. For women, especially around passion, for them to totally surrender to their pleasure with you, they get afraid of things. Context is very important to women. So like, how is the room that you're going to make love in? Are the sheets clean? Is the lighting nice? Is anyone going to bother us? Will we have privacy? You know, are the kids going to be banging down the door? Am I safe? I'm not going to get pregnant unless I'm trying to, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to hurt me. There's always going to be a comfort, and you're always going to allow me to express myself and in any way sexually that I need to without you being weirded out by it. You're never going to make me feel like a slut. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the big things. Another is to engender respect from your woman. Be the man that she can respect and not only earn her respect, but ask her for respect. For men, respect is extremely important. And so if you are a man who deserves respect, that's going to turn her on, and it's also going to make your masculine-feminine dynamic very good. Another is not trying to get sex from her, being a guy who's, can I say the F word here?
You most certainly may. Yes, you may.
Don't try and get sex. Just be a guy who's really fuckable. It's much more enticing to her if you're a sexy guy who feels sexy about himself and who takes pride in being a good lover. Knowing how to seduce her. I have a gift for you as well. If you go to moresexmoreoften.com, I have a free book for you that teaches you how to seduce a woman by bringing her toward more pleasure, by actually giving her multiple choice offers. Instead of saying, hey, do you want to have sex, you actually learn how to run her a little menu that kind of triggers her dopamine, like she's shopping, which she loves, or like it's the same hormone that you get when you do gambling or when you're on Tinder and you're swiping and looking at all the pictures. Every one of those is a dopamine hit. And so you can actually give your woman a lot bigger charge by making her a bunch of offers. And it's actually more masculine to be in control, where you're so confident you're just running her a menu of options because you know what you're doing. And she can pick the one she likes. It puts you in charge in a way that's also not only very sexy to her, but increases the number of times you actually get laid, which is my goal. My goal is that she wants you for more sex more often. And so that's at moresexmoreoften.com. And then knowing how to run the sex when you have sex with her, understanding how to escalate passion, what I call erotic escalation. You're the man with the plan, just like your purpose. You know what you're doing, and you're able to take her from just a little turned on to incredibly hot and horny for you because you understand how to escalate her passion and desire through a lovemaking experience. And so that book, More Sex, More Often, teaches you a bit about that. And you can learn more about that on my website as well. You'll get there by going to the eight passion accelerators, and it'll, you know, you'll go down the rabbit hole.
Down the rabbit hole and up the spiral.
Exactly.
So yeah, Nice Guy Nation, the eight passion accelerators, look that up on YouTube. I also have that embedded into the show notes when it's released as well. And then you can go ahead and head over to moresexmoreoften.com. Check out that book about running her a menu of options. And if you're at all confused as to how a menu is confident, well, if you think about it, if you go to a restaurant, you're expecting a certain experience, and they give you that experience confidently, and they give you the menu of what they serve confidently. And so one of the worst questions to ask is, what's good here? Fuck you, everything is good here. That's why you came here. what do you want to eat? And especially because I'm really into culinary, and I'm looking into becoming a chef and things like that.
It's
just,
oh, wow.
One of my passions is cooking. It's just, it's where it's at. Mm-hmm. And so when you brought up a menu and confidence, I thought, well, yeah, it's like one of the worst questions you can ask somebody is, well, what's good here? Well, everything is good here. That's why you came here, because you want this experience. Yeah. And they're delivering it in a very confident way. If you went out to go eat and they said, well, we could have whatever you want to have, you'd be like, what? You're expecting a certain level of service. You're expecting that they have confidence in what it is that their kitchen can do and what they have to serve you, etc.
Well, when you're running a menu for a woman, running a sexual menu for her, you're holding the frame.
Correct.
You're controlling the container.
Yeah.
You're the one who's setting the tone. The place that guys run into trouble is they make the container too big for her at first. Because, you know, a guy tends to be, if you have to do generalities sexually and biologically, a guy is like a light switch and a woman is like a rheostat. Or like a fire, you know, you kindle and then you add some more flame and you blow on it and you add some more wood and you make the logs bigger. And then pretty much once you've tended the fire, she's a roaring, warm source of heat. But she doesn't start out that way.
Correct.
And so by starting with small offers, which is what More Sex, More Often teaches you, you are actually learning how to start small and then, escalate with more, bigger offers, three more offers, three more offers, three more offers. Would you like this? Would you like this? And that is very sexy for her because, man, she really feels taken care of by the fact that you're thinking about her pleasure at that level. It's really, it's the best tip you'll get on this whole, we should just stop now because I can't do better than that. That's a fantastic, oh, I got some more. I'm kidding. I got even more stuff for you.
Boom! You know, speaking of fire and flame and things like that, I was thinking, well, you know, what do guys do? Well, they try and throw too much wood on top, because you're always going to start with essentially a small amount of fire to start a bigger fire. But what can you do that's the worst thing possible is stack a whole bunch of wood on it, because you think that, well, if I put all the wood on it now, I'm going to get my big fire. But then what ends up happening? You get less oxygen, which means you get no fire or very little fire. It's not the way to go. So with that analogy, very seriously, if you try to go too fast or too strong or anything above where you should be at when you're with her, and something else that you mentioned, Susan, that's really important is that safety and comfort. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about context, you know, what's going to be happening? Are there going to be kids knocking on the door? Or are they taken care of? Like, there's safety and comfort. She wants to know she's going to be taken care of. She's going to be okay. Not to mean it in like a derogatory sense, but one of the things that I had learned several years ago was think safety and those panties are coming off.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Because we women have as big a sex drive as you guys do. We absolutely love to come. And we want a guy that can really come the shit out of us. But we absolutely have to have all the conditions right to do that. And so for a guy, conditions can be right in almost any situation, where for women, we're fussier about conditions. That's because we always have had to be very careful about not getting pregnant by the wrong guy, and it's just wired into us to be a little skittery. And so the more you can do to make us less worried about it, and the more you can do to make the conditions right, which I call setting the lover space. And I know that sounds kind of like Gooby California stuff, and you can call it whatever the heck you want, but just do it. I actually have an audio recording called The Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date, and I essentially teach men how to set an incredible, it's free, how to teach men to set an incredible lover space for a woman so that she just absolutely melts into a puddle of bliss in your arms. So she gives you more of herself than she's ever given any man. She has more orgasms. She screams louder. She is just having the best sex of her life because you've just created this super safe container for her to just let it rip.
Yep. To just pass out in a pile of sweaty sheets on the bed and just... She doesn't know where she is.
Exactly.
And for any guys on Nice Canadian who have yet to experience a woman like that, I truly recommend it.
Yeah.
That is when you know you are starting to live, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Because then more of your creative juices start flowing. I can't tell you how many times I have had incredible sex sessions with either somebody I'm dating at the time or whatever, and... I'm more alive than anything else after that point. I started going and doing all kinds of things. I've written songs afterwards. I mean, there's just the creative juices that start flowing into your life and how much brighter and happier you are. And really, I think what it comes down to is, like you said, a man with a plan, he knows what he's doing when he's setting this context as you, you know, setting up...
The lover space.
The lover space.
Yeah.
A man with a plan, he knows what he's doing. It all goes, ties back into that purpose. If you have a purpose and you know what that purpose is, you're a man with a plan, you know what you're doing, you know why you're there, you know that you deserve to be there, you know that you have business being there. And like Susan said earlier, you've got confidence in your skills to please her because you've worked on those skills, and Susan's got plenty of resources available.
Oh my gosh, don't I?
For you to
I'm like a water fountain of sexy ideas.
Well, lady.
A squirting fountain of sexy ideas.
Well, lady. But that really is the point, is that if you feel that you're lacking at all in a sense of purpose, or, for example, in how to please a woman, there's literature out there. And in fact, Susan is providing you with tons of literature and even videos and audios, so that you can learn this kind of stuff, and don't be sheepish about it. It will change your life for the better. That's all I can say. Is if you don't know the topography of a vulva, you should probably get a map out and start learning all the different things that you can do with coconut oil and vulvas.
Yay! And
bam!
I know, I love it. I just wrote an article. It hasn't even come out yet. There's this amazing book by Dr. Emily Nagoski called Come As You Are. I love it. It's my new favorite book. And one of the things she talks about, this is like a sex nerdy little tangent. Can we take it?
Boom, let's take it. Speaking of taking.
So when we're in utero, for the first 6 weeks of our lives, we have exactly the same sex organs. Mm-hmm. And then hormones wash through and we either become a girl or a boy. And at that point, our genitals start to go two different routes, right? And boy's penis will start to take shape and a girl's vulva will start to take shape. And that the penis and the clitoris, of course, are the same thing. And the foreskin and the clitoral hood are the same thing. They call it homologous. That's what that is, homologous genitals. That means they're the same thing expressed in different ways. And the crura, which are the legs of the clit that go from the head of her clitoris, which is the part you can see, lick, touch, suck, whatever you want to, that part has little legs that stick out back into her body. The same as the man. He has corpus cavernosum and corpus spongium. And the corpus cavernosum are the two legs of the cock that go inside a guy. And then the central part is her vestibular bulbs, which are the essentially the area of her vulva that is the pubic hair on each side of the opening to her vagina. That's called the vestibular bulbs. It's part of the clit. It puffs up when she gets turned on. When it gets stroked. And then, of course, there's her little fourchette that comes down in the bottom, which is like her little labia that meet at the bottom, kind of near her perineum. That's the frenulum on a guy's penis, the part that connects the foreskin to the back of the penis, to the underside of the penis. Really cool. I couldn't believe how much depth of knowledge there was, but what I really got out of that whole conversation or that whole piece of information was that there's like so much erectile tissue buried inside us that I think the greenfield opportunity in the world of sex right now is techniques to help stimulate all the erectile tissue that's inside, that's part of the clitoral system and part of the penis root system that goes inside our bodies. And I'm really starting to think more about how we can stimulate that erectile tissue instead of just the parts that are sticking out, how we can stimulate the entire system for even more pleasure. So that's what I've been thinking about lately.
Well, darling, but I mean, obviously my immediate question is, well, how do you do that? But going back to how you mentioned, I'm pretty sure a lot of guys don't know this in general. From what I've heard from female friends and girls I've dated is most guys don't even know where they're at in any shape or form. Get them a compass and a map and they still don't know where they're at. But that the amount of sensitivity that there is in various areas of the vulva, and just for example, when you mentioned going in on the sides, like that is such a sweet, tender area to play with, to get things going and even to continue on. And I think so many guys are always looking for some kind of direct stimulation and not going back to that kindling metaphor. It's not so much about that direct stimulation. It's about what you're doing within context to heat things up. And really going back to that sense of purpose and what makes a guy so sexy is that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows where he's at. And he knows where he should be. And in, for example, with you, what makes you such a delicious little turn on is that you know so much about this because, well, you're passionate about it.
Yeah. Well, and I would also say that there's an onus on women as well to be able to share and open their bodies to their lovers. I mean, how can a guy know where everything is if she won't even let him look down there, you know, when, or he has to go under the sheets to eat her out, or the lights have to be off. Like, I can't blame men for not having a map if women hold the map and won't let him look at it. So one of the things you have to do as a guy is make a woman feel like her genitals are as beautiful. She just doesn't even understand how beautiful her genitals are to you. And it might take you telling her 1,000 times that you love the way her pussy looks. But keep doing it. Like, don't give up on your woman. Your job is to open her and make her feel beautiful and comfortable. And when she does open to you and you can explore her uncharted territories and you can find, you know, her sunken treasures, her buried treasures, that turns out to be totally worth the energy.
Well, yeah, and it really goes down to two traits that I think sometimes guys can lack, and that's patience and being trusting. And patience with her to unfold and trusting of her. And I was actually speaking with a couple of girls last night about this topic, and one girl in particular opened up quite a bit and talked about the fact that she has been hurt so many times that she honestly comes across as being a bit guarded and bitchy to a lot of guys she doesn't want to, but it's because they haven't done what we're talking about, which is allow her to relax in a safe and comfortable space so that she knows that she's not going to get hurt, or at least can believe that she's not going to get hurt by this guy. And I think that has a lot to do with it, which of course you can talk about as well, is how many guys beforehand have hurt her, and so now she has this guard up, and so now this, wherever it is that this guy's come in that space-time continuum, is that he might need an awful lot of patience and need to be incredibly trusting while he's falling in love with this woman. And part of the reason that she may be having him eat her out under the sheets and things like that is because I've been with girls who were told that they were not attractive when they opened themselves up. And there's so many different ways that a guy can hurt a woman. It's almost, well, it is not almost disgusting. It's incredibly disgusting with regard to that. And it's like, Susan, you were saying, and my next question is, what are some ways that guys can really open women up?
Well, I think the number one way is honesty. And it takes a long time to unwind all the lying we're used to doing in our society, in our culture. But telling the truth is the most powerful force for good that any man or woman can have with each other. And the interesting thing about telling the truth is that the hardest part of telling the truth is admitting your own, not even vulnerabilities, but your own, I don't know, unsavory aspects of your own personality, whatever it might be, your greediness, your bigotry, your whatever, who knows what, your individual embarrassing ways are. But if you get started on the right foot with a woman and you just tell your truth to her, it creates that level of honesty and vulnerability, creates so much more trust that I think it accelerates your ability to go further with her than she's ever gone with anyone before, whether that's sexually or whatever. It also decreases the potential that you're going to be yet another guy who hurts her. A woman who comes into a relationship already feeling like she's a victim, that's a lot to unwind. And if she's worth it and you want to take it on, telling her the truth at all times and just being totally straight up with her, it takes a big man to be straight up and own his shit. And so you'll naturally attract a woman who's big enough to hold you or isn't, and you'll know that soon enough.
Correct. Absolutely.
You don't even need any other strategies. Like, honestly, that gets you 99% of the way there. But you have to practice being honest to yourself. You have to practice being honest to your friends and your family and in your life in general.
Yeah, I mean, there was an interview that I did recently where you got on the topic of integrity. The very essence of, well, be honest with yourself. Keep promises with yourself. When you say that you're going to do something, don't not do it, because it's just with yourself and nobody else is watching. I mean, integrity is when you do what it is you say you were going to do when the moment of motivation is gone and nobody else is watching. And and what Susan was talking about earlier was that essence of discipline, that guy that you mentioned earlier who's just getting hammered and sleeping with random women. Sounds a lot like Californication and Hank Moody, actually.
I love that show.
Well, I mean, yeah. Who doesn't, right?
But listen, I'm all for sleeping with a lot of women. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. I think you should be sleeping with as many women as you possibly can for as long as you are drawing breath. I want you to be having hot sex at 95. I've got guys who follow me who are in their 90s and they're still having sex, and I freaking love them. There's only a couple, but they're there and I treasure them. The only thing that I would say is, in full integrity, that's called being an ethical slut. And that's what I believe in. The second thing is, you have to really be careful about STDs. I mean, there are so many syphilis outbreaks happening right now. I mean, syphilis is on the rise, because what's happened with Grindr and Tinder is, and gender fluidity, is that now it's not just, like everybody's screwing, just like everybody's screwing everybody, and a lot more of them. They're starting younger. There's just more people having more sex with more people. And so your potential sex partner could be a slut and not an ethical one, not one that's doing the right things, getting tested every 6 months, always wearing a condom. What about using a dental dam? Like, that's, there's a lot that goes into safe sex. As a matter of fact, on my website, personallifemedia.com, there's a safe sex guide that includes going to sex parties, having, threesomes, foursomes, fivesomes, all kind of sexual play. And so if you want to know how to protect yourself, what STD test to get, how frequently to do it, how to manage people that you're fluid bonded with versus people that you're not, the different levels of play and their level of safety. All that stuff is on my website. It's very, it's like a reality-based safe sex guide for conscious lovers. And I think if you can have as much sex as possible, you're going to get better at sex. You're just going to be more confident. Your equipment's going to work better. You're just going to gain a lot of experience, and that's both positive emotionally and physically as long as you practice care with people.
Absolutely. And some things that you mentioned there as well is, you know, for anybody on Nice Guy Nation who maybe hasn't had any for a while and they're wondering about that, it's just like anything else. The more you have sex, the better you're going to get at it, or,
yep,
or at least you should.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. Repetition, repetition, repetition.
And also, different partners teach you different things.
Absolutely.
So that's also, it's like compound interest.
Well, it is compound interest. And I mean, that's where you're going to learn that some people are into some things and other people aren't. And it starts to really relax you and open your mind a bit and things like that. I mean, just from my own experience and having slept with quite a few more girls than now the guy that I am than I was, you know, 3-4 years ago, I was way more closed-minded back then than I am now, because I understand now if somebody's into something, that's cool. That's whatever. That's what they're into. Because I've seen it and I've experienced it. And I don't know, it opens you up. It relaxes you. That's all I can say, man. But bringing things back for guys listening in right now who may feel like they need to harness their sense of purpose, Susan, how do you recommend channeling your sense of purpose?
Well, I would say the very first thing that I would do if I were a guy who was like, okay, I would like to have a mission, a vision, a sense of purpose. I'd like to create, you know, and understand what I'm put on this earth to do. First thing I would do is I would assess my talents, my true talents. Not what basically what you're better at than anybody else that you know. That's what your actual talent is. And you probably only have one. There's something that you do that's better than almost everybody else you know. And it's really important to get clear on what that is, because that's a gift that you have to give. And a lot of times people really they like relegate their best talents to some, they almost look at them and go, well, it's easy for me, so it doesn't count. It's not important. And to that I say, hoo-ha, it's the most important thing is what you're the best at, what comes naturally and easily to you. Mm-hmm. Are you incredibly mechanical? Are you gifted with your hands? Are you highly articulate? Are you fabulous with spreadsheets? Are you whatever? I don't know. And then what are your interests? What do you love? What are you really interested in? What holds your attention? What do you spend your fun time doing? What brings you the most joy? And not the mind-numbing thing, but the actual, like, okay, this is something that's really creatively juicy for me. And then what skills do you have? What have you been trained to do that you actually do better than most people? And when you start looking at when you assess the intersection of your talents and interests and skills, you begin to get a map of what it is that you have to offer, how you can serve others. And then look for role models. And I don't think that any one role model can ever serve you completely, but just notice who you look up to. And if you don't look up to anybody, if you don't know anybody that you look up to, you are running in a crowd of losers and you need to up your game. You need to get into club best. You need to lovingly continue to have conversations with the friends you're with now, but you need to move yourself into a better social circle, a better work circle. You need to put yourself in a little pain. You need to be the one that is in the group that is the loserest of all of them, and everybody else is operating at a higher level than you are, so you step the fuck up. That's a really good way. And then the third thing...
You got a little aggressive there. I like it.
I know. I'm going to kick a little ass here on those. And then the third thing is that you start working on what your intentions are in your whole life. Like, how do you think about your whole life? And then you start to pursue relevant activities. You know, okay, so I'm really good at... my talent is I see trends in massive amounts of numbers, and my interest is the stock market, and whatever, I don't know. And my skill is spreadsheets, you know, so there's a really simple one. Yours might be quite divergent. They might be very different, your talents, interests, and skills, but there's a way to apply them that would bring you joy and serve others. And what's something you could do that would move you toward that? Because Rome's not built in a day, so what's one little thing you can do? So that would be some tangible tips that guys could start using right now to uncover their purpose.
Fantastic. No, I like that, especially when you're basically speaking about how to serve others.
Yeah.
And I like that. That's why you have the talent that you have. I think probably, honestly, one of the hardest things I've had to come to grip with is the things that are easy to me because that's why I'm here. And yeah. Going back to mental constructs, like the guy who said, well, I'm too young at 35, going back to the guy who said, well, I'm a man if I smoke, those mental constructs. I was raised that work is supposed to be hard, not supposed to be easy. So I'm supposed to take the things that I'm good at, just discount them, and then go work at things that are difficult, because that's what work is supposed to be, but that's not the case. Like, my accountant actually loves doing taxes. That's why he does them. And I hate doing taxes. So that's why we live in this beautiful universe. I hand off my taxes to my accountant who loves doing them so that I'm free to work on other things. Like, when I talk to people who say, oh, I just did my own taxes, it took me 10 hours. I'm like, dear God, do you have any idea how much money you lost doing that? How much?
I know.
Like, are you serious? Like, you could hand that off to an accountant. That's why they're there, because they, or why they should be there anyway, is because they love working with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me personally, I don't. My talents are in other areas. For example, doing this podcast. It's not difficult, but that doesn't mean it's not my purpose. Or cooking, for example. Or music. There's a lot of things that I do that are not difficult for me, and other people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. Well, sure, I work at it. Sure, I take classes. Sure, I study. For example, as I'm sure you've heard, Susan is quite knowledgeable at this realm in which that she has a passion in, because she is interested in it, so it doesn't make it much work to study it and learn the terminology and learn how to help and serve others while doing it.
It's funny too, because of course, you know, I'm really incredible in bed.
Really? You don't say.
I really am. And I wasn't always. As a matter of fact, I really didn't even understand why people liked sex till I was 45. Like, I always wanted to like sex, and I just never quite could figure out what's so great about it. Like, I could have an orgasm, but I was always searching for more. And then I started to understand it. I had a breakthrough. I had a breakthrough when I started to have an expanded orgasm practice with my husband. But a lot of times you work at cross purposes. You think, oh, you know, maybe this is just, it shouldn't be this easy, you know? And other times you say, okay, well then now I need to learn how to do this. I need to teach myself, which you also just said. And I really respect that too.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay, so we just covered three tangible tips. Now, I know earlier you mentioned a few books. Come As You Are was one of them, as well as More Sex More Often. Do you want to stick with those books, or is there any other books that you might recommend?
Well, and the 8 Passion Accelerators video, I think that's interesting too. What I would recommend is not a book, it's actually a men's circle. I'm sure that I am not the first person on your show that has talked about the Mankind Project, am I?
Actually, you are the first.
Hot damn. Well, I'm about to bust open everybody's world today. The Mankind Project, mankindproject.org. is for purpose-driven men. I've been very happily a guest on their Purpose and Passion Summit. It teaches guys, there's a program called New Warrior Training, and it's there's a Mankind Project group in your town or close to your town, and if there isn't, you can start one and create your own men's circle. And that is where you get together with other guys and other men who want to be emotionally mature. They want to hold each other accountable to success, and they want to become compassionate role models. They don't want to be the macho man, and they don't want to be the airy-fairy sissy. They want to be the purpose-driven man. And I would really recommend that you go to mankindproject.org and consider going to a local Mankind Project group circle, because that can just really help you step up. You'll meet amazing men who, again, remember when I was talking about if you're not the low man on the totem pole in your circle of friends, like if they're not regularly kicking your ass, you need to get a better circle of friends. This is a great place to meet those guys that want to kick ass in the time they have on this earth. And they want to support other men in the camaraderie of masculine growth and potential.
Love it. And speaking of which, my next question is like a positive masculine actor, character, even real person that you would recommend Nice Guy Nation pay attention to.
Well, there's two guys for me that I love. The first one is Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins, because, you know, he's a personal growth guru. He has a lot of programs, Unleash the Power Within, Date with Destiny, Life Mastery. And if you've never been to an Unleash the Power Within, it's a weekend event. You get to walk over hot coals. You get to basically do fire walking. And you learn how your state, your physical state, really makes a difference in how you perceive the world. Remember, we were talking about men who have a powerful force of energy because they've got lust and passion and purpose in life. They feel different in their body.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And they have different thoughts in their mind than men who are living in a trance state or, you know, are not taking a mindful reflection of their life. They're just reacting in their, you know, kind of formed personality. Well, what Tony Robbins teaches you is how to instantly, and he does it with the snap of a fingers or a heartbeat, you can instantly change your state. You can go from someone with negative self-perceptions to someone who is absolutely on fire and making things happen. And so I would say Tony Robbins is definitely one of those people that if you haven't experienced doing Unleash the Power Within, you should definitely sign up for one of those events and go to it. Walk across fire and learn how to change your state in a heartbeat and learn how to kick ass in your life and get real with yourself. And the second one is really, in some ways, a funny one, but it's Frank Underwood, the guy who is the president of the United States in the House of Cards. That's a Netflix television show.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen him, Francis Underwood, House of Cards. Basically, he is a ruthless, he's a ruthless man. he's not evil. He's just, it's almost like he's emotionless in some ways. Like he's so able to outthink everyone else, no matter how political they are, no matter how much they're trying to control and manipulate situation. He always gets the upper hand because he's almost bloodless in his approach to life. Like he is running game strategy. He is a meta mind. He's above and watching how all the other players pan out. And one of the things that as a man you're so lucky to have is that your emotions don't run you like a woman. And you have an unfair advantage in the world in that way. And leveraging that and understanding that you can in some ways be a bloodless strategist. When you think about using your skills for good and serving others, you can still be a bloodless strategist and you can run the game. And it's quite interesting that if you're running the game for good, you can affect powerful change. If you can get control of your emotions and you can look at things with this mindful reflection, this meta mind, it's incredibly powerful. And so I just have to say, studying Francis Underwood on the House of Cards is something that, you know, I just don't see that quality of fierceness in most men. And I find it quite appealing.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad that you brought that up, especially when you mentioned that being ruthless is not necessarily being evil or having anything out against anybody. Ruthless is just, as you said, you have a way to calculate life like it's a chessboard without any emotion whatsoever. And even with that in mind, just the practice of playing chess every single day with a computer or with a friend doesn't necessarily matter, but the act of playing chess every day, I got that from listening to an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was asked, you know, at your age, what do you do every day that you would recommend? And he said, well, I've been doing it for a while, regardless of age, but I actually play chess every day. And I thought, okay. So I started doing it as an experiment, and it that what you just described, that Francis Underwood guy, obviously I'm not by any means at that level. However, within it, less than a week, I started noticing a difference in how I viewed life.
Yeah, you're using game strategy. You're teaching your you're using the plasticity of your mind to increase your mind's facility with game strategy.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love it too. So now you're even sexier.
Well, thank you, lady.
So I want to ask you to make a fierce commitment to yourself and your life. I want you to be the kind of woman all the girls want to have sex with. I want you to be the kind of man that people look up to. I want you to draw us to you with your strength and your service and your strategy. And I want you to email Kevin Alexander and tell him that this podcast has made a difference in your life, because that's what he's here for. And so that's what I'm asking for you. I've given you a lot of great things today. And my request is that if you have a moment to email Kevin and let him know that his work has changed your life, it's what he's doing this for.
Well, thank you very much for that shameless promotion. I thoroughly encourage everything that you just said. Really quick, before we jet, I have two final questions for you, Susan.
Yeah.
What is a quote that inspires you?
Well, I can give you my quote I've run my life with since I was about 14 years old. Janis Joplin, she was a famous alcoholic heroin addict, singer from the 60s and 70s. And, she said, "Don't compromise yourself. You're all you've got." And I have lived by that phrase my entire life. I've always stayed true to who I am as much as I possibly can. It just really inspires me.
I love it. And how can Nice Guy Nation find out more about you?
Oh, you don't need to find out about me. I don't care about me. You don't need to know me. You just need to enjoy my work. PersonalLifeMedia.com, Susan Bratton. You'll find tons of free, great, awesome stuff. Of course, you can buy any of my programs anytime you're drawn to do it. It doesn't matter to me either way. I'm happy to have you in my world. So if you want to join my newsletter, that's probably the best way to get all the free stuff about super sexy, sexy stuff that you, if you like what I've said, that's the best way to get more of my goodness.
Well, if anybody doesn't like what you said, then they just say, just go home.
Well, hey, not everybody likes me.
Aww.
And that's okay.
Aw, I don't know. I liked you the minute you said yes to my show.
Everybody likes you. Everybody likes you.
Everybody likes you. Come on, I read Dale Carnegie. Everybody likes me. That's the ticket, isn't it? But it, in all honesty, Susan, it's been enlightening and fascinating to have you on, and I just wanted to take the time to thank you and say how much it's appreciated that you have shared your knowledge and your wisdom with Nice Guy Nation.
Ah, are you kidding me? I love doing it. Thank you so much for having me. I love nice guys, and I'm happy to be here, so thank you.
You are quite welcome, lady. Boom shakalaka, Nice Guy Nation. I will not keep you too much longer, but first and foremost, sirs, gentlemen, let's go ahead and nice guys, let's go ahead and give a huge Nice Guy Nation thank you to Susan Bratton for coming on, taking time out of her day to go ahead and share that knowledge and wisdom with you. And I can only hope that you've got a page full of notes, 10 pages full of notes about how important truth, passion, vision is. Living true to yourself, living a life filled with passion, having a vision for how you want your life to be. And now you've heard from Susan most specifically how and why having a purpose is just so damn sexy. Cool? Cool. All right then. So, Nice Guy Nation, I'm going to let you get back to living your most amazing day, because you now know it's not six-pack abs, it's not your car, it's not your bank account, it's your purpose that makes you sexy. It's 2016, the year of focus. Focus, sir, on how it is that you can TPV, truth, passion, vision your way to making yourself incredibly sexy. And until then, dude, I can't wait to see you on that flip side.
Thank you for listening to the Nice Guy Dating Podcast, where nice guys finish first. Feel free to check out Nice Guy Dating on the web at niceguydating.ca, where you'll find tons of free content helping you to live with truth, passion, and vision towards the dating life you deserve. Nice Guy Dating is also available on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Amazon Kindle, where you can find several Amazon Kindle best-selling books available to help you. Have any questions about the podcast, coaching with me, or just want to get in touch to say hi, feel free to email me directly at kevin@niceguydating.ca.